Felix, I understand it. My last name is often pronounced very differently in many different places, so I'm happy to accept any version. So thank you everyone for coming along. I was a little bit worried about giving this presentation in a environment in the sense that an environment where there's been drought for a long time. Ironically, for Australia, we also came out of a very long drought, and we've had now 2 years of we've had two seasons where we've had actually large amounts of waterlogging and flooding, such as the variability of the climate that exists in Australia. I thought this one of the reasons why I wanted to present this sort of stuff is to actually show some of the insights that our work on waterlogging does give us is that some of the impacts that we see from overwatering cotton in many ways. And I have actually been refreshed that over the last few days that this presentation is probably not so irrelevant when we have actually seen some irrigation presentations in the last few days that have actually shown the impacts of actually putting probably too much water on cotton. So what does waterlogging do? Well, waterlogging is a quite a nasty abiotic stress. It not only impacts the plant itself, but in fact it has some complications in terms of the environment and the soil that the crop actually grows into, which actually makes it a complex thing to work on. In Australia, some of the main reasons our systems are predominantly furrow irrigated. The reasons why we do often encounter waterlogging is because we have soil compaction, and certainly in the case in the last couple of years with the new picking systems, we've seen a lot more soil compaction and actually seen a lot more symptoms of waterlogging. We have excessive field lengths. We can have furrow irrigation systems. Some of our larger farms that have furrows that run for more than a mile and a half in terms of trying to run water down them. Poor slope or levelling of the fields can be a reason. Probably the major agronomic factor that we have actually found over the years that contributes to waterlogging, whether it be from a furrow irrigation event or a rainfall event, is actually the bed formation. That if beds actually have subsided, it probably is the main reason why that we, in many cases, we actually can end up with waterlogging. And we see poor irrigation scheduling. Growers, after the drought, once they got access to a bit of water again, could not wait to start watering their cotton again, and that we actually saw some impacts of actually too much water going on cotton. And our cloud weather actually often prolongs the effects. One of the physiological things that we found, main out some previous work that we've done over the years, the main things that waterlogging, how it's actually exhibited in the plant is very similar to many other stresses. We actually see a reduction in the number of fruiting sites actually being produced in the first instance, so we actually have less fruiting sites, and the actual shedding of fruit is the other sort of as a result of waterlogging occurring. So the net result is that we get less yield because we actually have less fruit at the end of the season. We've been looking at over the years a couple of approaches to try to look at building some tolerance to waterlogging in the cotton in Australia. We've one with our colleagues in Canberra in Australia. We've been looking at some transgenic approaches, and basically the philosophy there is that we have increased levels of alcohol fermentation by inserting some extra genes of ADH and PDC. And the other approach that we found, and this is out of some literature that we had looked at in terms of horticulture, mainly around apples of all things, is a use of an ethylene inhibitor called AVG. And we wanted to see what ethylene has been proposed as one of the main, like many other stresses, has been proposed as one of those things that plays a main role in waterlogging. So in terms of the actual physiology, the internal biochemistry of the plant, what we see with when cotton doesn't have any parenchyma, so it actually will go into waterlogging very quickly, and we see that the pathway in without oxygen will produce ethanol, but it's a very inefficient pathway in terms of producing energy that's required for the plant. In terms of AVG evaluation, we So what I'm going to talk about now is a little bit about the approaches that we're taking. So in terms of the AVG evaluation, these were just simple experiments where we set up, we had no experience in using this hormone. Our first suite of experiments was simply to get hold of this hormone and actually just apply it and undertake a rate experiment and see what impact it had. And we had rates range from 0 up to 250 grams of active ingredient per hectare. And our philosophy here is, and this is our experiments were set up with the perfect system. We knew we were going to waterlog the cotton, so we sprayed these chemicals on the day before we started to waterlog the cotton. In terms of our transgenic evaluation, we had a range of cultivars that have had different insertions, either enhanced PDC or ADH, and we undertook these experiments with a background of coca as the control. And we undertook both these evaluations in two different seasons. And the main treatments in these experiments were obviously waterlogged and non-waterlogged. And the way we actually waterlogged the cotton was that we really actually, to test the system, what we decided to do was, in the case of the transgenics, we grew the transgenics, and at each event where we needed to actually irrigate the cotton, instead of running the water for 8 hours, which is the sort of approximate standard practice running down the furrows, we actually let the water run for up to 72 hours to actually generate the water logging. The other thing that we had to do to actually generate water logging was actually flatten the hills. So the hills were actually half the size of what they were normally to actually generate this water logging. In terms of the AVG, we only actually applied, so the transgenics, they were waterlogged up to 4 or 5 times. The AVG evaluation, we only actually tested that at the second waterlogging event. So we didn't do that every time that we impacted the crop. What we found, and this is an interesting thing, and this is often the case with many of the transgenic evaluations that we found over the years, is that what we did find is that in terms of our, we got main effects, so we actually, what this table sort of summarised on the right here, is that we were able to generate main effects. That, you know, when we waterlogged the cotton for as long as we did, we were able to reduce yield quite substantially. But what we didn't find, and we had no significant effects of we weren't able to recover any of that yield by using the transgenic varieties. And I'll talk a little bit more about that as we go along. So essentially, we put a lot of money and investment into producing these transgenic varieties, went through all the regulatory approaches. When we actually started to undertake the experiments, we found that there were no advantages in using this approach to avoid waterlogging. Just going back, so you know, as a lot of the molecular biologists do, they will undertake experiments. They will use controlled environments to test their hypotheses, to test to see whether they actually have had some transformation and some impact. So our colleague, Mark Ellis, who was doing this, when they actually set up these transgenes and they transformed the cotton, they ran these experiments in hydroponics and were able to control the level of oxygen in the water that was being fed to these plants. And they were able to measure with the different, either the ADH or PDC, they were actually able to measure in these plants a different expression of ethanol. So in the laboratory conditions, yep, we found that these transgenes were actually able to elevate the ethanol in the plants. If we take the level of ethanol expression that was produced in the laboratory and relate that to actually the seed cotton yields that we actually measured in the field, we found some loose relationships. And again, taking this on board, that in fact in the main sense, these values weren't significant, but there was some sort of trend there that we could actually see that the level of ethanol expression actually did relate to the seed cotton yield, but these differences were really small in a major sense when we compare it to the field. In terms of the AVG evaluation, so I'm just flipping back in terms of the other evaluation we did, so testing the ethanol inhibitor. In the first year that we were able to show that when we applied the actual ethylene inhibitor the day before the waterlogging event, we were actually able to stave off some of those impacts of waterlogging. And in both years, we got an increase in yield at around 150 125 grams per active ingredient for the AVG. And we found that that translated to the seed cotton yield, again related back to the final boll number in terms of, so the AVG either was able to, and one thing we didn't measure in retrospect, we didn't actually go out and measure the fruit retention. So I can't say that this is because it was able to hold on to fruit or whether it actually enabled more fruit to grow. But we suspect that it actually, our suspicion is that it actually prevented fruit being shed, as you might see with other type of ethylene inhibitors. So in terms of the outcomes, in terms of the transgenics, we found that in the field conditions, the ADH and the PDC expression is not able to overcome the waterlogging effects. These basically was in contrast to the things that were found in the lab. But this sort of highlights some of the need for why we have to have actually agronomists and physiologists working with our biotech colleagues. That often when we actually come up with these things, is that when we actually go and put this in a real environment, we actually find that the soil and the other major physiological effects that are actually being impacted on from waterlogging are actually far outweigh the other mechanisms that are going on. So what we're probably seeing here is that in the background, when we do the experiments, we probably are getting these transgenics are expressing more ethanol, but the example might be, but when you actually get a waterlogged or a very wet condition, the soil environment's been impacted so much that you actually don't see any of these things coming through. So it's a classic example of what, when we look at these transgenic sort of environments, we have to look at the system in its entirety to work out how we might start to overcome these things. In terms of the AVG, so we our preliminary work showed that that it showed some promise. So really, what we're doing there is that we've been wanting to run these experiments for the last 3 years, but it's very hard to actually run. We've only just managed to start these experiments up again. It's very hard to run experiments when you have flooding, our waterlogging experiments when you're having flooding. The irony is that you actually have no control. So we've started to undertake this work again only now. And I actually, probably the other point relating to this is that the AVG itself is maybe a useful tool for doing research on the understanding of ethylene in cotton. Thank you very much.
We have plenty of time for questions.
Bobby. I think we were preventing the production. Presumably, we were preventing the production of ethylene. It was an ethylene inhibitor, and what we didn't measure, though, but the assumption is that maybe it was preventing fruit deposition. So, we talk about the role of ethylene in fruit deposition. So we're assuming that's what occurred. But I can't prove that because I didn't go out and measure the retention. In fact, we didn't feel that this would actually work. This was a little bit done before the one in. Probably now what we would be doing is looking at a range of ethylene inhibitors that exist out there now. But so we're only now going back and actually going to start looking at these things in a little bit more detail. But we were actually surprised at the result. I'm often not a big fan of using hormones for some of these things, because I thought, again, I thought it, in the same way that the transgenics didn't actually show an impact, I thought the other factors like the soil nutrition would have actually overcome being a too big a factor even to allow the other things to occur. Waterlogging is probably one of the nastiest abiotic stresses that you can get because, like I said, it's not only impacting the plant directly, it's impacting the soil environment. And in a particular season, bringing that back, that soil environment back, is just so hard.
Interestingly enough, Felix, the
the experiments we're doing now, we actually have a PhD student who's doing the biochemistry in more detail. I think if actually, I probably spoke to Canberra colleagues who were doing the transgenic stuff, probably they were measuring that sort of stuff, but yeah, they operate at this level, I operate down here. Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.